Welcome to Solid Soundbites. My name is John Yost. Our special guest, Season 3, Episode 6, Phil Rubleski. He's a barber unlike any barber you have ever heard of. This episode begins now. Thanks for joining us here for Solid Soundbites with John Yost. On the radio show, we had Phil Rubleski of Counterculture Barbershop that I wanted to, get into a little more. It's not about cutting hair as much as it is shining the light of Christ. Thanks for what you're doing out there.
Oh, thank you again, John. I thank you so much.
Now, you've started a barbershop in the Pennsylvania area called Schwenksville. Why did you do that?
Well, actually, Schwenksville is my hometown, a place where I grew up in, sadly, a very dark, broken home. And interestingly enough, through my prison time and throughout my addiction, I was running from Schwenksville. And you know how our God works, John, through healing. He's actually brought me back to Schwenksville, where the shop has been established, where, more importantly, even my home with my current wife and my 10-month-old daughter is in the same town, just down the street where all that trauma actually happened to me as a child. My childhood home actually burnt down. Grew up in that home. My mom had molested us as kids, killed one of my brothers, and manipulated me to find him in the morning as a 6-month-old baby. That really is, when it all came out, root cause of what led to the trauma and the addiction and into prison and homelessness. It really is sad. Before making my mom to sound out like an evil monster, it is like what the Bible talks about, John, generational curses being passed down. She was sadly molested by her own brother. And when she lost her father at 4 years old, my grandmother was 36, had 4 kids. My grandfather went out to get milk and passed away, was hit by a drunk driver. So that result in a lot of darkness happening within the home. My 17-year-old uncle was on heroin later that year in the 70s in Philadelphia, and his 15-year-old brother, my mom's older brother, was molesting my mom at 4 years old. And so it really led to some dark trauma with my mom not having a loving, positive male figure in her life, and actually quite the opposite, being hurt by one in a very sad way, continued to pass that on as she had children. We started talking about this in the past couple years more and more. And a lot of these things were repressed, John, to where there wasn't even much memory of them until my brothers became really open with me about it and started to discuss specifics. We realized that we needed to unpack this from the soul, John. We needed to express this. We needed to get vulnerable. There was a lot of shame and guilt that came with these things that we really needed to unbear to heal.
So, Phil, I have to ask an obvious question, because most of us listening to this would never step foot into the same town, let alone like right around the corner where all that happened. Why did you choose to do that?
So the Lord really led me to it. So coming out of prison, there's a program by the name of Liberty Ministries. I'm sure you're familiar.
Absolutely.
That being in my hometown, the first time I went through, I was 19 and I was not ready. I was still using drugs within the ministry. I got removed. And so later on in my 20s, the last time I was in prison, which was over a decade ago, I was looking at 10 to 20 years. Interestingly enough, John, I would just be getting out now. Yes, if the Lord didn't see fit to give me a chance again to go to Liberty Ministries after facing 10 to 20 years over 10 years ago. And being back in Schwanksville for a multiple time, I started a barber shop with a partner named Sal. We opened four together. And during COVID, the Lord led me back, and the old barbershop across the street from Liberty was available. I talked to the landlord. You know, he gave me just an unbelievable, all signs were pointing towards that. I later ended up selling out my partnership with my partner. And from there, I actually ended up getting a home and purchasing a home right down the street from where all this trauma happened, right down the street from the barbershop. And that was in the midst of COVID, John. I mean, you know, the insanity with the housing market.
Yeah. Right.
So it was a pure God thing. And so all the neighbors and all the hometown, kind of quite opposite as Jesus, where in his hometown, he was the carpenter's son. People in this town, in this area, knew me as a drug addict. They knew me as a heroin addict. They knew me as a three-time loser going to prison. And so the Lord has really used that, and the barbershop particularly, to show those the power of who he is, of the Holy Spirit, and the very real healing when we're willing to be honest and love each other. It all starts with love, John. And so it really was foreign to me. And only through Christ have I been able to experience it this way, to be able to come back to that.
It's all about Jesus. He is a chain breaker, a way maker. We are speaking with Phil Rubleski from counterculturebarbershop.com. That's your website, right?
Yes, it is, John. Yes.
They have a big social media presence. But why I had him on the station was because of something positively different. This is a for-profit barbershop, but with the intention of being deliberate and intentional about shining the love of Christ and the light of Christ, right?
Correct, John. Yes.
I mean, there's no doubt you walk in there. There's music playing, worship music playing. John, you're a barbershop manager at that location, right?
Yes.
Well, he's certainly a diehard Eagles fan. That's an inside joke. You'll have to check out John's story for God's glory at counterculturebarbershop.com. But Phil, you were on the radio station at 107.5 Alive to share about a fundraising gala for November 10th that, praise God, has been sold out. But the need is still there for people to come alongside this mobile barbershop. Could you share a little bit about your vision for this mobile barbershop for those that are listening to the podcast?
Yeah, so God was making it a very clear direction for me with how heavy it was on my heart to get out to those who were like myself, who were broken in addiction and coming out of prison and homelessness because of this depravity. And the mobile shop became very evident as a way to do so. And God worked out all the details, John. You know how someone goes to school for 8 years to get a doctorate in medicine or such and such degree? This was a 30 plus year God doctorate in childhood trauma, addiction, homelessness in prison, all the way to coming out, being open. Like it says in John 4, God is spirit. We worship him through truth.
Amen.
Telling the truth and opening up and being vulnerable, and was the opposite of the suppression that led to all that depravity. And so it really was also other things like being on the board at Liberty, barbering being something even as an apprentice, I realized was a way to give my testimony and shine light. And then becoming a business owner through my partner, Sal, he used all that. He used me going through Liberty as someone addicted, to coming out on the other side, to being a barber, to being a business owner, to being on the board of a nonprofit, to be able to do all those things from that leadership position.
Amazing, Phil. We serve a mighty God. And friend, listening to this podcast right now, maybe you or someone near and dear to you is stuck. Remember what the Word of God says. Pray continually. Ephesians 3:20, when Phil was sharing, comes to my mind. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more, abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, imagine, comprehend, That's the power at work within us because of Jesus Christ. That's possible for you as well. And Phil, did you think it was possible for you, brother?
Never thought that, John. I would actually just be getting out of prison this past year instead of a 10-month-old daughter, beautiful wife, beautiful home, beautiful ministry, and just an amazing support system with so much love.
Bill, anyone that meets you, I mean, you see the joy of the Lord in you. There's no doubt about it, what God has done in your life and with your wife, Emily, right?
Yes, yes, Emily.
And your daughter. It really is. It's wonderful to see. You've taken back ground from Satan. You've taken back what he stole. And you continue to shine his light. Mm. What would be the one thing you would say to someone listening right now that has someone in their family or they themselves are in that addiction? They want to get better. They just keep falling into it. What would you say to them?
I would say that our hope is truly in Christ, not as a cliche, but to no matter how desperate the situation may be, to truly know who he is and his love for us, and to know that that really does transcend all despair and depravity. And no matter how bad it is or how bad it looks, that the surrendering to him is the beginning process of how we can really begin to heal, no matter, again, like you said, how much ground Satan has taken from us, to continue to pray, to continue to have that hope and in Christ. And it is really more than possible. You know, we are more than conquerors through him, John. We do not have to live that way. We don't. It's a lie.
Yeah, amen. Be sure to check out their website, counterculturebarbershop.com. Phil, before I let you go, how can our podcast listeners be praying for you?
Oh, thanks, John. I really appreciate that. Just please continue to pray as this establishes and continues to grow, that we hit a trajectory that I really feel that God is bringing, and that I am standing firm in Christ and in him to be able to handle that pressure as new things come. Pray for my growth, mainly, as you know, John, for my wife and daughter, that I continue to put the ministry of being the husband and father to them first, no matter how important this all is, but that just that God's will is done here.
Right. Amen. We are speaking with Phil Wroblewski. Thank you so much, brother. And I look forward to seeing you personally on November 10th. If somebody wants to duplicate this, say they're listening in another state and they are like, wow, we should do something like this where we live, could they get a hold of you?
Yes, they can. Yes. My phone number direct is 610-504-4492. I would love to have that conversation, John.
I did not expect you to give your phone number out. That's the kind of guy you are, though.
Yes. Yes.
Really. Yes. With your permission, can we lead out with the video that you shared on your website about your history, about why you did what you did with Counterculture Barbershop?
Of course, John. Of course.
We'll do that right now. And brother, thanks again for all you're doing in Shanksville. You really are a difference maker.
Thank you, John. Thank you so much.
My name is Phil Wroblewski, and it all started here, 920 Summit Ave, Shanksville, Pennsylvania. This home is no longer here. It's an empty lot now. It actually tragically burnt down a couple years ago with two boys in it. The darkness started way before that tragedy in that home with myself and my family. My mother has actually molested all of us and murdered even one of my brothers in that home, and manipulated me to find him. Because I was manipulated to find him, she had never gotten in any police contact, and the official cause of death was SIDS for my youngest brother. Finding my dead brother at the request of my murdering mother was the root cause of my heroin addiction and 10 plus years of pure bondage and prison lifestyle. 10 plus years of an addiction and coming out of that and recovering that through therapy, through counseling, both Christian and non-Christian, Teen Challenge, and Liberty twice, gave me incredible knowledge and psychological insight on that root cause of my addiction. However, I would still find myself back in an addiction because I was always trying to modify the behavior. And even though I was aware, it was a bunch of surface level behavior modification that never actually led to any healing. The last time I was officially in a court of law, I was offered 10 to 20 years. And from that point, I totally surrendered in a new way and believed I would be going to jail for 10 to 20 years. And I wanted to, if that was the Lord's will. I truly wanted nothing more than God's will. It was not His will. I ended up being let out and into Liberty Ministries for a second time. During my second time at Liberty, I find myself cutting hair for an upteenth time in my life in the basement for the guys. Ray Phillips, if you know good old Ray, was the first guy I've ever cut down there and gave me a word from the Lord and said, I see you doing this as a career. This is a ministry for you. This is a special thing for you. And that really, I really took that to heart because I had been doing it and it spoke to me. And my mentor had confirmed it weeks later, bringing up hair cutting. And I took that as a sign from God and confirmation. And I looked up the best places around. Sal came up. I called Sal. We had an amazing conversation. We built a friendship together. Liberty allowed me to do my apprenticeship through him. They never allowed driving past the Collegeville thrift store like that. So this was truly God allowing for this. When I started with Sal, because I was already a barber, it was so amazing and very easy with the skill portion in the beginning. But God started to really work on my spirit and teach me that this was a way for me to minister to men while it was a one-on-one atmosphere. And the service of the haircut was definitely a major tool that God was using to build that relationship and that spiritual foundation. I saw that that was the heart of what I was doing there and worked on doing that while at Sal's. Over the next 5 years, Sal and I developed an actual partnership. And then it led to me franchising Sal and buying our third location in Phoenixville and an overall 5-shop franchise location before I ended up selling to him during COVID-19 to go and start Counterculture, which the Lord put on my heart as an execution to what Sal's barbershop was. God was evolving a regular barbershop business and everything I needed to learn about the business aspect that he brought Sal in my life for to being a full-blown ministry. Surrendering Sal's for me was similar to that moment in court because it had been a kingdom that I had built and it had been huge and we made tons of money and I didn't necessarily want to give it up. The Lord put on my heart it was time to give it up because it wasn't about me, it wasn't about making money, it wasn't about Sal's. It was about him and it was about these men and it was about redemption through Jesus Christ. Right away from the very beginning, Counterculture became exactly that. It blew my mind. It was way more than a barbershop. It was a broken down building across from Liberty with drug addicts and people selling drugs. I said, Lord, you're taking me from my gorgeous Phoenixville location to here in the middle of COVID. And that's exactly what he was doing. Little did I know it would lead me to this conversation. I had one guy with me. I was looking at going from 12 barbers to 16 with the second shop between Phoenixville and Schwanksville. Instead, God pruned me. Instead of flourishing me, I came down. It was just John and I. So from 15 men to just one, that did not feel good. It was very testing, but it was what the Lord was asking, and it's what we did. And so we've grown from there to 4 barbers now with one apprentice, and also into the building connected to our barbershop. I'm called back to Schwanksville from the very same place where all the childhood traumas started that led to the addiction, that led to the prison lifestyle.
So to have gone through my journey with God, with Sal, with Liberty, to end up back here reminds me of a verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Even the deepest part of the traumas of my childhood and what I experienced in the survival modes that led to the drug addiction, even the darkness in addiction, all the way to the prison lifestyle and all those experiences God used, gave me the opportunity to start this ministry at the barbershop that is evolved into a full program that involves a nonprofit mobile barbershop ministry. So we have three into one. God put all this together by taking all that past, all that hurt and pain, to be able to give that to others through Jesus Christ. And so the barbers that we have, 98% of them, the same trauma, the same patterns, God's breaking it free in their life. And as far as the program goes and the development of it, the building that the barbershop is in is a mixed commercial residential building. The nonprofit is there to get these barbers out essentially from prison and homelessness and plugged into the building with a space to be able to live. And the nonprofit supports the living for these individuals, and then also gives us the ability through a mobile unit to get out there, to be able to cut homeless hair, to wash them and serve them and be doing the true work of God, which is for souls, has really given an amazing and only ability for an individual to see their own brokenness through another. And I've noticed the most powerful thing is to love somebody through that. It's the true difficult way to love. It's a true unconditional love. And that has built a bond through a group unlike any counseling session I've ever seen. So that's the hard work. That's what we're continuing to try and do in this program out here in our local communities, and to just continue to love on people and be a shining light in a dimming world. And so we want to keep that light bright as everything around is getting darker. My name is Phil Rubleski, owner of Counterculture. Thank you again so much for your time. God bless.
And thank you for listening to this episode of Solid Soundbites. Be sure to share it, like it with others, and check out all the links below regarding Counterculture Barbershop and their mobile barbershop. My name is John Yost. Lord willing, maybe we'll see each other in the Philly area at 107.5 FM between 5 a.m. and 8 a.m. or worldwide. You can check out that morning show at 107.5alive.com. Until we meet again, make your words count.